Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Conversations with My Dog. Today's guest is Aurélie, a content creator, a dear friend of mine, and the mother of Marcel the Corgi, Fluffy Extraordinaire. He is UK's most famous corgi on social media with a following over 240,000 across his social media platforms. He is the co-founder of the UK Corgi Club, and a reporter for the Evening Standard Go London Digital. Marcel has visited 14 countries so far in both Europe and North America, and has also been a therapy visiting dog since 2017. He recently starred in a photo shoot with Helena Bonham Carter for the new series of The Crown on Netflix, The Queen's Christmas Broadcast, and The Chelsea Flower Show. Now, it is such an honor to welcome Aurélie and Marcel Le Corgi on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us. Ça va? Hello.
Thank you for having us. As Marcel would say, bonjour.
Bonjour, bonne nuit. I don't even say, shall we, what do you say for good afternoon in French? Because I think it's going towards midnight now because it's so dark outside.
It would be bonjour. It would be bonjour. It would be the same because jour is day. So we don't have the good morning, good afternoon in French.
How interesting. To be honest, I don't even know what day it is and what weather it is. It's just crazy. I just feel like I'm in a loop.
You're not alone. The same. Exactly the same.
I've just been for a walk with Robbie and it's just been, if I may say, pissing down with cats and dogs. Can you say that? Is that an English expression? It's awful. I mean, can we get any worse weather for our dogs? I don't know what to do.
I would hope that this weather would keep people indoors at the moment, to be honest.
I think it does. I think it does the trick, to be honest. But it's also really important that we do get out and about.
Absolutely.
And have some, fresh air and things like that. But it is, I really love my walks with Robbie. And at the moment, it's just constant mud and rain here. It's constant. But how is Marcel today? Where is Marcel? Is he sitting with you?
He's right at my feet.
Obviously
blocking my desk chair, so I can't move. I feel like he's doing this to make sure that I am working and doing any work and so getting the treats in, you know.
Oh my darling. Yeah. He loves his treats. He's so treat conscious. I remember Marcel and Robbie together. And I mean, just have to tell you, this is probably the longest intro I've ever done for a celebrity. I mean, my goodness, he's done everything. He's done everything. I can't believe it. It's incredible.
He has done a lot. This is our motto is that life is short and so easy. So, it's just making the most of it.
I love your posts. What I love about your posts is that Marcel seems to be extremely philosophical, and he's got like a modern European French thinking mind, though he is Welsh.
Yes.
Sorry, but you know, and when I read your post and I wonder how did Marcel become so popular, it is really the content, what you put in there. How do you come up with all of these great, how can I say, chats? And yes.
Oh, well, it's. I think to me, it's all about the industry or the sector is is all about, you know, being passionate and just like you do with yoga and so many things, it's all about passion. And so I'm passionate. I'm a photographer. So I'm passionate about, you know, imagery and creating and capturing memories, and then passionate about traveling, passionate about him, obviously. And we're also a bit passionate about food because Pierre is a chef. Pierre, my husband, is a chef. All put together was, I think his dad is just talking about, you know, doing things with passion and talking about the things that you enjoy, really. But it's all come very gradually for his social media. And it wasn't, this is one thing that I stress because I'm being asked a lot about how can I make my dog famous or things like that. And I think my best answer, which is never the one people want to hear, is don't try. We never really tried. We just, you know, we were just talking and doing the things that we're passionate about. I keep saying passionate, but anyway. And so I think this is how it happened. And just, created this, not created this community, but connected with people. The connections as well are great.
Yeah. Can you explain Marcel's fan base? How far does it stretch? Does it go across the globe, across the planet, to Jupiter, to Mars? I mean, it seems like everybody likes Marcel.
A fan base that's based all over the world, really. We've got a lot of fans in North America, South America as well, actually. I'm getting a lot of messages from Brazil at the moment, Asia, UK, obviously, France, because we have our, Pierre and I have got our origins there, but it's very diverse, which is one of the things that I love with it, because it's also taught me about, which is something that I learned through traveling as well. It's opening you to new culture, talking to people about what's happening for them, you know, what their cultures are about. And they're really all over the place. I think this is what dogs are doing to you. They are, you know, they're uniting people and even countries where I wouldn't even have thought you'd find people liking dogs, because culturally it's not really a thing. But like the Emirates, for example, we have a person we talk about quite often, who has a corgi in the Emirates, for example.
My God, is it a sheikh or a prince?
He's the son of a sheikh, yes.
Of course. I mean, because they have increasingly bought more dogs over there. And this is also something we're going to talk about, buying dogs and things. But I just wanted to know, what is it that makes Marcel so attractive? In what summons it that makes people go back for more? Is it just the pictures? Is it what he has to say?
It's everything all together. I mean, this is how I hope, why I hope it is. Obviously, he is a cute dog, and I hopefully take good pictures of him, which help. But I think it's a whole lot. It's the personality. It's the, I'm trying to let his personality shine through the post, for example. And it's really him. I've not really made up that whole thing. Obviously, you know, the jokes about the royal family are jokes, and I wish we were part. Oh, I'm not sure I would actually like that. But
It's okay. Keep
too
going.
Much attention, the wrong attention. But anyway,
the wrong attention. Yes.
I think it's not just one thing. It's all of it together. You get loads. Corgis are cute. Dogs are cute in general. Does it mean they're all, you know, being where he is? I would say I don't think so. So I'd like to think it's the, I am looking for the world, but I can't find it. It's ensemble in French, but
so it's an incredible combination.
Combination,
exactly. Ensemble. It's yeah. I was actually not even here understanding ensemble. Ah, merci. Combination of you, your passions for traveling, your passion for photography. So you have the lens. You understand the beauty of a photography, the right approach, but also your interest in different various cultures and being, I think, extremely open-minded about everything. I mean, just on a political note, but in a funny political note, Robbie attended the wooferendum. Were you there with Marcel
I chose to. I was a bit concerned about it. And obviously, he's bigger than Robbie. So if anything had happened, I know it was very peaceful and everything, but I was just a bit concerned with getting him involved with politics and protests. And I know it was very peaceful in the end, but I was just in case.
I mean, you know that Robbie's famous for peeing on celebrities' shoes and people. Yes, exactly. So the paparazzis were out there and they had a papier-mâché Boris Johnson and a papier-mâché, you know, Theresa May and a papier-mâché the other ones from the cabinet. Anyway, and all dogs were invited to obviously piddle on. And everybody was waiting for Robbie. Say, oh my God, Britain's Got Talent, duck on. And everybody, come on, Robbie. Come on, and guess what? He didn't wee on to Boris. He just didn't do it. I couldn't believe he was reluctant.
Yeah, if dogs could talk, eh?
If dogs. And just leading into that, I mean, if Marcel could talk back to you and say, what do you think he would tell you with all his life as a celebrity influencer dog? Do you think he would say, Mum, I'm happy, I'm content, I'm cool with it, you know?
So they don't obviously speak our language, but I have learned and I have studied a bit about language, their language, so the body language, and to make sure that whenever I'm working with him, he's always at ease and always relaxed, and because I don't want to, this is a big thing for me, to allow him to be a dog, because this is what we did get him, to get a dog, to get a companion animal, not to get a moneymaker, for example. And so I learned to read, you know, signs and signs of discomfort and signs of stress and things. So I hope to think that he's quite relaxed and quite happy with it all. He also quite likes the attention. So I went for a walk, a socially distanced walk with a friend locally a few days ago. And we came across someone actually recognized him, which hadn't happened in ages because obviously there's not many people around and you don't go out too much. And he was just, he went to the girl who recognized him to get cuddles and things like that. And so
I remember I was actually quite pleasantly shocked, surprised when I went out with you for a walk around Buckingham Palace with Marcel and Robbie and Pierre. And there was almost a stalker. I mean,
oh my gosh, that was so funny. It happens quite a lot.
Yeah, can you explain that? Because I don't think listeners will believe that his popularity. They didn't care about Buckingham Palace anymore once they saw Marcel.
And it was super sweet. This is one thing that's great, is that you see you have a positive impact on people and, you know, it makes them smile. And this, especially in the past year, it's been uplifting for me as well. And to be able to do something that doesn't cost me anything and that, you know, makes a difference. Because we all know that mental health is, you know, it's so important. And we've all learned that it was so important in the past year, especially. But anyway, yes, he does. He did get recognized. So when we were to the US just over a year ago, he did get recognized it was really odd, in a back street in San Francisco and then in Las Vegas as well. And then I think the first time I realized that was a few years ago when I was in Germany. I was doing a road trip with him. And this bus full of American tourists parked not too far from where we were parked. And these girls came over and they're like, can I just ask you something odd? And I was like, yes, go on. I kind of knew what was going to happen. But she was like, is this Marcel Le Corgi? And I was like, yeah. So they were all the way from the US and we were in Germany at the bottom of Neuschwanstein, the castle. And,
oh, wow.
And yeah, they'd recognize him. So it's very I don't think he really cares or knows, you know, what that means, fame and everything, thankfully, because it all comes out. That's my part, to have to deal with the positive, the negatives of it as well.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny because we did take a picture, didn't we, with Robbie next to Marcel, and Robbie just was like a sidekick, like the second second banana to the other dog, like kind of like it almost, the picture was saying, like, Robbie goes, yeah, I know, I'm not that famous. Because Marcel, he just I don't know, does he smile? He always has his tongue out. You know, he's so photogenic.
So he does that a lot, not always. The interesting with this is that whenever I post a photo of him not smiling, in between brackets, because a dog, they're not really smiling. You can see when they're relaxed or not relaxed. But I think the tongue out is mostly, you know, if he's been exercising or he's excited or something like that. And so I just tend to post those pictures because whenever I post a photo of him not smiling, between brackets, I used to get a lot of hassle from people saying he's not happy, because people tend to think of dogs and the way they act and their reactions as humans, but they're not. They have a very different way to communicate, but... Yeah, so it's more, I think the smiley picture is mostly, I do that mostly to save myself some hassle.
It's quite interesting. Could you give us some ideas about what is a dog in distress during photography and a dog that is not in distress? You know, your experiences, maybe some tips or something. I know we kind of skipped that, but it's important.
It's fine. So because I do a lot of photography and I work with dogs a lot, I love working with dogs, but they're not all used to a camera like Marcel is, and their owners aren't always used to or paying attention to those signs. So I think it's very important. And I'm going to be talking and blogging about this more because it's obviously something that that is important to me. And so signs of a dog that's licking their lips quite a lot. If they're constantly doing it, it could be a sign of other things as well, but it can be a sign of stress. If they're refusing to look at the camera, you know, turning their head on the side constantly and just like, that could be a sign as well that it's not necessarily stress, but it could be that they don't understand what's expected of them.
Exactly. That's Robbie. Doesn't like it. He doesn't like anything to do with cameras. He's not a fan of hello, here.
Marcel,
Robbie
Marcel, hates Marcel, it. We look at the camera because he knows that there's treats coming out of it. That's literally what he's about. He's just like us humans, you know. He's not working for nothing. So the leaking lips, the just not looking around, the pacing, the panting a lot could be a sign of stress as well.
Hmm. What about yawning? The rapid yawning.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So yawning can also, like for humans, be a sign of being tired. But if they yawn constantly, that's usually a sign that they may be not happy with the situation.
It is incredible because how many of the influencers that we know, I mean, there's so many dog influencers out there and we're not going to drop any names, but let's just look at it. I mean, how many of those influencers are using their dog for their own benefit and trade? They say they love their dog, but really they're making a lot of money out of their dogs. And I don't think they really care as much. They love them, but they might not care or understand the right care.
I think the sad part of it all is that they're not necessarily even making that much money. Some people will just do it for a free pack of treats or something, which is even sadder because you could just, I mean, come on, who can't afford a pack of treats? Like, and anyway, but I think there is that this is a world, just like every industry, this is a world where there are good people and people who have, you know, intentions that are fair, and there's people who have intentions that are a bit more questionable. And I think, unfortunately, with the pet industry in general and pet influencers, it's not just about yourself, it's about you involving a living being with feelings who has nothing to do with it all, and sometimes, you know, being pushing them too much. And this is where it hurts, I mean, to me, it's just where it's making me angry, because you're using them, and dogs, we know they are so, you know, they're loyal, they love you, they would do anything for you. You see those dogs that are you know, beaten up by their owners or things like that, and they still go back to them because that's all they know. And so this is where it hurts with, you know, dogs in general, but the pet influencer scene as well. So I think the main thing there is, you know, some people are in it for success and others are in it for fame. And what irks me is when it's done for fame and you're pushing an animal for that. It's not even for money sometimes, it's just fame. And like, what is fame anyway?
Absolutely. And funnily enough, it's a lot of people that hide behind the lens. They're not very happy about their self. I find that they're extremely shy and camera shy themselves. And they never, ever post themselves with the dog together as an owner. I find that very odd.
I mean, this is like, I'm one of those people, to be honest. I think it's more of an editorial choice to not show yourself or not. Like, so, you know, honestly, it is frustrating, especially at the moment when you start talking about politics, because what people tend to forget is that behind the lens, there is a human. And even if the account is, you know, Marcel is talking, it's him talking on his social media, but there is still, he's not the one writing the messages. Behind that, there is a human who has values and has, you know, things to say sometimes. And when things happen like they are in the US at the moment, for example, you just... you feel, and you have these platforms, you want to, I feel like I personally, as a human being, I feel like I have to say something. And it's the fact, I think sometimes it's a bit, so I wouldn't, like, someone hiding behind the camera isn't necessarily a sign that they are, you know, trying to hide something. It might just be that their editorial line is that, you know, it's just about the dog. I'm trying to get myself seen a bit more because I've obviously got to think about my own career as well. And I don't want to rely. I don't think the whole pet influencer thing is sustainable on the longer run. And I never really intended to get where we are. And it's amazing the opportunities we get, but I don't think this is sustainable.
It isn't sustainable because the dog won't live forever. And I totally relate to that because I think one of the worst moments of my life was, no, I shouldn't say the worst one. One of the scariest moments of my life with Robbie, apart from making a decision to move to Switzerland, standing on the Palladium in front of judges, you know, in front of the Britain's Got Talent judge panel. I mean, you know, they know the outcome already, but you're on stage on the Palladium and you think, oh my God, what if we do get through the next round? Because I didn't sign up for that. But a part of you, your ego, goes, actually, I would love to have a little bit more fame. It is the scariest. You're holding that little thing in your arms and you know that he cannot decide for you. You know that he might be tired. I mean, when we look at Patsy and Ashley, there's a big history behind there. Patsy was exhausted after 2-3 years of performing, you know, and I knew that story and it stayed with me. I always thought, is Robbie's not a show dog. He's not a trainer. And it shouldn't be like that. Anyway, there shouldn't be any show dogs. For me personally, there shouldn't be any show dogs whatsoever. It's not, dogs are not meant to pick cards and things like that, unless it's something for a reason, to demonstrate something for fun and the dog likes it and dancing around. But Robbie loves his yoga, but if I force him, he pulls away. He pulls away. He's terrified.
I have that thing with photo shoots as well. Like whenever I take photos or even when I do, because I do brand partnerships with Marcel. I mean, you know, I'm working hard on that. If we get occasions to do what we love to do and without forcing him and we get paid for it because we're advertising for a brand, then, you know, fair enough. It's happening sometimes that he's not in the mood. And what I do now, people are often ask me, what do you do? And I'm not forcing him. I have seen people force their dogs, try to force that. You're not getting anywhere. And you're actually hurting your relationship with your dog by pushing them that way. So I just stop and, you know, move on. But this is what you were saying. They're just dogs. And that's how they're happy. And like, so I don't think this is sustainable, and this is also why I want to do more of my own thing rather than I'll carry on doing his thing, because it's bringing joy to myself and it's bringing joy to other people and he's always enjoying them. But
so when is Marcel going to retire? Is he going to retire ever, or what do you think? Is there going to be a...
I think we already started doing less advertising, for example, on this, but I've never done too much. I've always been very picky because to me, I just want, you know, the brands I'm partnering with to align with our values. I have to have values that align with ours. So I think where it's going, where I see it going, is we're going to just carry on doing the things and why we created the accounts, which was to share the joy of having him with us. And we enjoy traveling and people enjoy seeing him travel. So we'll just carry on doing that. But what I'm definitely doing there and trying to achieve is not being financially, you know, depending on him, because emotionally there's so much. Like I have friends who recently lost a dog and that dog happened to have a big Instagram account, for example, and just having to deal with your own, in their case they weren't really working with brands so it wasn't an issue, but they already struggled because they had to deal with their own emotions and, you know, the fact that they'd lost a family member, but as well they had to deal with hundreds of thousands of people who were also sad for them. But it's just a bit too much at times. These communities are very supportive, but at the same time I just don't know, I don't want to think about how I'd be able to cope with that. It's a lot to cope with. It's already hard when you lose a dog, let alone if you have to lose the, you know, deal with all those people who are worried and sad for them and not always very sensitive. Like I've had a friend who lost her other dog and she did get messages The people were basically expecting her, the owner who had just lost her dog, to feel sorry for them because they were lost without that Instagram dog. And I'm just like, no, that's just not... It's a bit messed up, to be honest.
Pretty messed up.
And you get also, I know someone in Germany who lost a pet as well, and she was harassed by the press as well because they wanted to make an example of her who was making money from her pet, and like she'd lost him. Oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? She's, you know, it's just awful.
It is rather, yeah, and they start bullying you. The thing is, you mentioned something, and something very important that you wanted to cover as well is getting puppies during the pandemic and buying puppies online. That is something that is close to your heart. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So it is, and I think this is a concern. Obviously, the press is talking a lot about it at the moment. A lot of people have gotten dogs because we all know how great they are during, you know, during pandemic and lockdowns. But where I'm concerned is the fact that there is, and I wish I'd said something earlier on during the first lockdown, is that it's very difficult to socialize a dog. And it's not just puppies, it's also adult dogs, like getting them used to being alone again, because their new normal is having us at home all the time. So when
exactly.
you start to leave the home again, even an adult dog will not understand, because their new normal is, and they are creatures of habits.
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, there's been loads. Whenever we go to the park, it's rammed with puppies. And I'm sure the majority of them will have realized how great they are and how they deserve the best. But I'm just concerned about, like, where are all those puppies coming from? Like, it's just like, how come suddenly there's so many puppies? And you hear, I've heard really terrible stories in my Corgi group and in other groups. And they're not always of, you know, puppies being imported and being very sick, but also puppies being produced in this country and being very sick. Like some of them had parvovirus. Some of them were given, there's one that looked like he was barely 5 weeks old when he was handed to the owner. So the problem with that as well is that I don't know if you've heard of that research, but I think the Scottish government did some research. They launched this amazing campaign that we're trying to support that's called Look Beyond Cute, which is all about making sure that they're very ahead of everything, which is all about encouraging people to make sure that they're finding puppies from sources that are reputable.
Well, and how do you do that, you know?
Well, they have tips on their websites. I can send you the link, actually, and I'm going to talk about that on Marcel's social media as well. So I think the very important things are, and obviously right now it's very difficult, is just stay away from websites like Gumtree and Facebook. That's not even allowed by their community standards. You shouldn't be, I don't even know how people still manage to sell dogs on Facebook and Gumtree and on those
Still
social
going.
Media platforms. I regularly report them when I see them, and they do take them down, I must admit. So I guess they just can't control everything, right? But yeah, it's all about making sure that you see the puppies with their mom, obviously at the moment, because you're not supposed to get in the houses. So some people will say, you know, have a FaceTime or a video call with the breeders, but a video call could be so easy to conceal and just pretend you're living in that place when you're not. And so it's very important usually to see the mother and the dam with the puppies interacting where they have been bred, for example.
Exactly. In real life, not on Zoom or Skype or anything. Yeah. Actually,
although,
going,
I mean,
there physically.
At the moment, it's a bit tricky, which is why my main advice has always been, and people don't like this, but I've always said, honestly, if you can, I would wait until, you know, the pandemic or the uncertainty at least is over and things get back to a bit more of a more normal situation, I guess, because right now there's no way, the authorities can't really control where the puppies are coming from. There's puppy farms rife, there's import of puppies. I think honestly the best way right now would be to wait until after, or, you know, things get normalized a bit, I guess.
Absolutely. And most importantly, the puppy training is not available.
No, it's. I mean, there are some trainers that are doing it online, and I have a good friend of mine who's doing. We took a class, an advanced class, with her recently, but it's tricky, and socializing as well. How can you socialize puppies when you're not supposed to, you know, you can't get near people.
Incredibly hard. I mean, it's a bit like the doga thing where my classes, I mean, the whole benefit is to be together lying on the floor with dogs around you. And it's on Zoom. So you only get maybe a tenth of the benefit, really, for yourself and the dog. It's almost virtually impossible. Well, it is virtually impossible to create that experience. It has to be real. So many things are going down the drain. It's incredibly hard. And you are absolutely right. I agree totally, because I think it's almost like adopting a child, isn't it? I mean, you just wouldn't do it during the pandemic. No, it isn't almost. It is like adopting a child. It is, in a way.
Yeah. They are a family member to me. So, you know, I know some people don't like the comparison with a child, but I have friends who have both, and they do compare, you know, raising a child to raising a dog very much. It's the potty training and everything is pretty much the same. The adolescence phase and
definitely the potty training, definitely the ongoing potty training. It's quite unbearable.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, it's Ben Bidwell here, otherwise known as The Naked Professor. I'm popping up to say the brand new series of The Naked Professor's podcast is now live. We're all about having deep and vulnerable discussions about what's really going on and how people are really feeling and dealing with the challenges in their lives. Each episode features a roundtable of incredible guests. You can expect to hear things like this.
You know, the father I was a year ago is different to the father I am now.
Past months have been more up and down than I've ever experienced. My stress levels have been elevated since the show came out.
I've been working really hard to try and hold the good and the bad in my life at the moment.
These conversations are more important now than ever before. So if you want to tune in, then subscribe to the Naked Professors podcast wherever you found this one.
Say, getting a puppy, I think this is one thing that I didn't realize when we had Marcel when he was young. It's a lot of emotions as well. You know, those mothers who have postpartum and things. I'm not going to compare that to this, but it is a lot of emotions that I wasn't necessarily ready for. You know, you get overwhelmed. You don't sleep much because you have to wake up to take them outside. And it's just...
Yeah. Oh my. Oh, little Marcel, little baby. I can't imagine him as a baby.
So. This is the problem, is that he was very good, and I keep saying, you know, if when we get another one, I think the new one would make us pay for how good Marcel is.
I always thought that too. If I ever get a sibling for Robbie, oh my goodness, would I ever? Because I've just had such an easy ride with Robbie. Such an easy ride. I mean, I don't have to keep him on a lead or anything. He's my shadow. A bit too much of a shadow at the moment. He walks, like literally he's my shadow. I turn, he turns. I turn left, he turns. It's disconcerting in a way because it's a not normal behavior of Robbie. So he's really super attached at the moment. And everything you said, absolutely right. I wish I could talk to you forever. But just very quickly, you said you are moving on into photography. This is your going to be your main thing. Now you're going to start going back into your photography and Is it pet photography that you're going to specialize in, or everything?
It's photography for people who love animals, companion animals. So mainly weddings. Obviously, at the moment, weddings are off the cards, but hopefully, you know, we'll get back to that soon. And so, you know, weddings involving dogs, for example, I've already captured a few, including one last year.
I saw that.
Dogs so much, and I know how to photograph them, I guess. So because or thanks to Marcel and working with him and capturing him since he was a puppy. So I just thought, you know, why not again, like the traveling, why not combine what I love? So I love weddings and I love, you know, families and taking, capturing memories is very important to me with your family members, with all of them, including your pets. So this is what the plan is and this is what I'm doing.
That's a wonderful transition as well. And then it wouldn't involve Marcel so much anymore, and he can sort of semi-retire into being an older dog, you know,
and just what be an assistant to Pierre in our kitchen.
I love Pierre and Marcel together. I saw Pierre sitting there stroking Marcel. He's like his little bodyguard, and they're so cozy together. They are really quite similar, actually. They sort of is one entity together.
I always say that I'm glad he took, you know, I think with dogs it's all about nature and nurture.
Yes.
And I'm thankful Marcel took from Pierre with the patience and everything rather than from me.
Absolutely. I wish I had an incredible partner like you have, as such a great supportive human being, as a partner, that Robbie had someone to deflect, do you understand? And not everything goes on to me. And so, you know, they do pick up on your emotions. And if you're just one entity, you know, he just sucks all the emotions. Do you believe that too? Do you think dogs don't have censorship?
No, I think they do. What you were saying about them picking up on emotions is absolutely true. Like, I can tell that from when we go to the park, some days if I'm not in a good mood, if I'm feeling, you know, a bit low, then he's acting differently. And I often worry about him, like, oh my gosh, what's going on with him now? And then I realize he's actually just being like that because I'm not feeling well myself. And it is something that I was told early on when he was a puppy to not stress about him when I was being overwhelmed, because the stress goes down the leads.
Absolutely. I find that I'm not very present with him when I'm stressed. And then I'm on the phone or something like that, and I'm not with him present. That makes a huge difference. If I'm just off the phone, most importantly, in my walks, try to be off the phone, walk with him, look at things, breathe in, breathe out, which is what we're going to do. And Robbie's then joyful, and then he starts twirling. He starts doing the Slovakian twirl. He starts twirling 360 degrees around himself.
Marcel's agreeing.
Marcel! Oh, my chatty. So do we speak, obviously, I don't have to speak in French to Marcel. I can speak English. He understands English.
We do both. He's bilingual.
Can you give us a franglais sentence for Marcel? A franglais? What's a franglais? Tell me.
I can't even think of anything right now, but it's like when we say on his social media, when I say bonjour and I write bone as in a bone, you know, a chicken bone or whatever. And people, I get told off, they've stopped now, but I used to be told off by the French grammar police about that. And I was like, this is a play on words, guys. Just chill.
French don't have a sense of humor.
No, I think we're very, very protective of our language. It.
On that note, are we ready potentially for some doga with Marcel? And is there anything you'd like to touch at the moment with Marcel? Where does he like to be touched? What's his favorite spot?
He doesn't mind, actually. He's quite, he likes, I think, belly. What do you like, Marcel? Ears as well. He likes a good ear massage.
Okie dokie. So we're going to do the Marcel Le Corgi ear massage, les oreilles. Le massage des oreilles. On y va. Alors, so what we're going to do, just enjoy yourself, Aurélie. It's all about you and the breath. And everybody, wherever you are, just sit down. And I am going to breathe very deeply. So, Aurélie, you're welcome to join in with the sound. You don't have to if you want to. But we're going to start with a slow, deep Inhalation, drawing the breath up from the tail into the crown of the head, inhaling. Up into the chest, and then releasing on the exhale. As you start your breathing, inhaling, drawing the breath up from the tail into the crown of the head, you can use one palm to place it on your upper chest and one hand on your dog's belly. So where dog's solar plexus is. The solar plexus is, well, just like our humans, just around above the dog's hips and underneath his rib cage. So with the flat palm, we're going to do circular motions. Clockwise, big circular motions around the garden. And in the same time, we're now going to do the circular motion around our upper chest. So we're using the breath and the movement, synchronizing this movement breath, circling. Oh, Robbie's moving, so cute. Circling the hands, obviously clockwise or anti-clockwise for you, but with the dog, ideally clockwise. And just find that synchronicity. You'll find that one hand goes the other way and one hand goes one way. For those who are finding it difficult to breathe, you can keep your mouth open and take long, deep breaths through the mouth, doing ocean breathing. And as you're doing this motion, you can start feeling maybe your shoulders relaxing. If your dog moves, just keep the circular action through the palms of your hands, wherever he turns, wherever side he wants to go, but keep massaging the upper chest. And if your dog completely pulls away, then you can just keep your left palm turned upwards and keep circling the right palm. So you're still keeping that connection. So it's almost like Reiki. Slow inhale. Slow exhale. And now I just want you to get a sense of your own feelings, your own emotions, as you keep circling the upper chest, drawing the breath more deeply from the navel up into the upper rib cage, and maybe even a little bit higher up into the sternum. So you're lengthening the inhalation, but also letting go of the exhale. And it's as if you could transfer the breath onto your palm of your hand that you're using to massage your dog, or the palm of your hand that you're keeping upright. So you can find that slowly there's a synchronicity in the brain. The brain can slow down, the thoughts can slow down. And just staying in the upper chest today. And now we can move the hand a little bit more upwards behind the ears of the dog, right behind the ears, and just start massaging the outer ears, le massage des oreilles. Massaging the outer ears of your dogini with your thumb and index finger, just circular motions. And still working on your chest at the same time. So still keeping that circular motion, keep that upper chest light, the heart soft. Deep breathing. Perhaps you can start breathing through the nose fully. If the mouth, if the nose is clear, People who are obviously with blocked nose might find it a little bit more difficult. Either or, through the nose or through the mouth, long, deep breaths. And because you're doing this with one hand, you can then eventually, once you're settled in your heart and in your feelings, you can maybe use both hands to massage the dog's ears, but keep that sensation in the heart region. And then just getting completely into the yoga mudra, the seal of holding your dog's ears with both hands and just massaging, but keeping that lightness through the upper chest, just massaging around the outer ear, all the way around the outskirts of the ears, all the way to the top, and all the way down and around. You can also, and this sounds a little crazy, but you can also go with your hands, your fingers, into the inside of the ear as well. Yes, everything okay? Into the inside of the ears. A little bit inside. You can almost make a fist and go inside with your hand, depending on how big the ears are, of course. But it doesn't harm the dog, as obviously you're not poking with your fingers, but just slowly going inside the inner ear. Le massage des oreilles. Breathe. And as you're doing this, it's really nice to relax the shoulders even more, taking all the tension out of your shoulders. And you can do this paw massage or ear massage for hours before you go to sleep with some nice music, headphones, and just really listening to that breath and that focusing on the heart as you're massaging at the same time. So on that note, I'm going to chant Om. And obviously, you're welcome to join me or just enjoy the mantra. Take it a deep inhale. And the last Om just goes through the whole body, from the top to the tail, inhaling. Then a slow inhale, a slow exhale, and then we just close our palms together and we bow our heads to our dogs and just say Namapa, bowing our heads to our dogs in gratitude, feeling their presence, being with us at all times. Thank you, Marcel. Thank you, Aurélie. How are we feeling?
Very relaxed.
I know you've done some yoga before with Marcel. You came to classes before, so you know my teachings. This is wonderful. It just grounds you. It just hopefully grounds you to be more present with your animal, and it really helps with thoughts, you know, excessive thinking or worries. So hopefully our listeners have enjoyed this. Aurélie, I could talk to you forever. And I know we have only covered maybe a tenth of what we were supposed to discuss, but we'd love to have you again on the show with more tips.
And And in the meantime, I'll be you know, blogging about things on my own blog and Marcel's as well. So yeah.
Can you give us the website as well where we can read your blogs?
So my own, which is for humans who love companion animals, is www.photobya4, A and then the number 4 in a number, .com. And Marcel is www.lecorgi.com.
That's
and
so
we
easy.
Can be found across social media as at photobya4 and at lecorgi.
Fantastic. It's brilliant. Well, Oily, on that note, I want to say au revoir, and I want to see you again in real life. I know we will see each other, most likely in the UK, in the park, at an event, I'm sure. I can't wait to see you again. And I can't wait to see Marcel's happy face.
Oh.
Absolutely. And your happy face too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with My Dog. Make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, then please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us. And talking of spreading the news, please tell another person about the podcast and help us reach more people and dogs. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week. Namapaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.